It's Happy State. Happy State.
It's 8:30 New York time. Time to wake up America and stump the experts. Each week at this time, Lucky Strike throws a quiz party with four experts providing the floor show. For every question we use, Lucky Strike pays out $10 plus a copy of the new Information Please quiz book. If your question stumps us, you get $25 more plus a 24-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Send your questions to Information Please, 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City. If our editorial staff edits your questions a bit, don't fret over it. In case of similarity, we'll have to be sole judge of who shall be paid, and all questions become the property of Information Please. And now light up a lucky strike as I present our master of ceremonies, the literary critic of the New Yorker magazine, Clifton Fadiman. Mr. Fadiman.
Ladies and gentlemen, Information Please, as you know, is completely unrehearsed, informal, and spontaneous. Tonight, our tried and true triad is here. Franklin P. Adams, the New York Post's cunning tower of strength. John Kieran, the sports expert, naturalist, and degree holder. Oscar Levant, pianist, conductor, composer, actor, author. And as our guest, a great sports figure known wherever the game of tennis has ever been heard of, Mr. William Tilden. Now remember, for each question that's missed, Lucky Strike rings up $25. And that's paid out to the sender, plus 24 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. We're off with a question coming to us all the way from Seattle, Washington, from Mr. W.D. Brewer. That's a four-part question, and we'd like you to get three out of four if you can. Where in fact or fiction, this is all about famous fights, by the way, where in fact or fiction does a man kill a lion with his bare hands? Mr. Kieran.
Well, Samson.
Samson, yes. Remember what Samson was about to do just after he killed the lion?
Get a haircut.
No, I think that was a little further along in the story. No, wasn't he out to slay the Philistines and on the way just as a sort of...
Yeah, but he used another weapon on them.
Yes.
Sea jawbone
is right. Well, just to warm himself up, he killed the lion with his bare hands. And you'll find the story of Samson in which book of the Bible?
Oh.
Which book, Mr. Kieran?
Kings.
No.
Leviticus.
No.
I don't know.
Those are the only two books you gentlemen know. Judges 14:16. Where, in fact or fiction, gentlemen, does a man subdue a dragon? Mr. Tilden.
In the Wagnerian opera.
Yes. Who does the subduing? What's his name?
That you have me stop at the moment.
I bet Mr. Levant can help us
Siegfried.
Out. Siegfried. Yes.
Also warming up to meet a girl.
Yes. Was this in a knockdown and drag-on fight. Now, how... in which man wrestles with a gorilla? I don't know how he comes out in this case.
Where... Is that in a column or a fact?
It's fiction. It's fiction.
Before Mr. Brisbane or after?
Beg pardon?
Before Mr. Brisbane or after?
Oh, this is post-Brisbane.
Oh. A gorilla?
Yeah, a gorilla, Mr. Levant. This is up your...
I don't want to mention any names.
Oh, that's got you stumped, has it? It's Bob Hope in the motion picture The Road to Zanzibar. Apparently wrestles with a gorilla.
Right.
Remember it now?
Yeah.
Who wins, Mr. Levant?
Paramount had the gorilla wins.
The gorilla wins.
Retaining its superiority over man.
Good enough. Where did a man subdue two bears? This is the fourth and last. Subdue two bears.
Is that that little fairy tale about the one dressed up as a wolf? Or the blow your house down, all those things.
I think you got a couple of fairy tales mixed up. There are three bears.
Three bears, and they have porridge. I never knew what happened to them after.
No. How about it? Mr. Adams?
Never heard of it.
Yes, you did. Mr. Kieran?
Two bears.
Two bears.
The Chicago Bears.
No.
The football team.
No. Mr. Levant? Joe Louis, Pete Buddy and Max Bear. No? No?
Yes.
All right, Touché. Don't like that one. Now, that gives us three out of four.
A play on words.
Yes, so to speak. Just as good as some of those you make, Mr. F.P.A.
I wouldn't say that.
No, it's up to me to say it. Now, how about the next one from Mary D. Mayer of Mount Vernon, New York? Get two out of three if you can. This is a question about the opera. What German opera is about an Irish girl? A German opera about an Irish girl. Mr. Levant.
How about... Tristan's in Cornwall.
Yes, yes. Who's the girl?
Isolde.
Isolde, yes. She's Irish. Something that we don't often think of.
Cornwall is not Ireland. Ireland.
Where?
Cornwall
well,
is the
she's,
southwest.
She's sort of Gaelic,
of
isn't
England.
She? No? Well, I believe. Which is it, Mr. Levant? Is she?
I said Cornwall. I don't know where Cornwall is.
Cornwall's in England. She might have had a little Irish blood in her. How about this one? What French opera is about a German girl? A French opera about a German girl, Mr. Tilden.
I would suggest that would be Marguerite and Faust.
Yes, that would be quite right, Mr. Tilden. I like the formal response. That's very nice. Not quite that degree of formality.
Well, the only reason is I'm just trying to be sure that I happen to be right for once in my life.
Oh, you're right as rain. What Italian opera is about an American girl? An Italian opera, Mr. Adams? Was that your hand?
Yeah.
One about a gal in Japan.
No, I think not.
The girl
of the
Golden... Well, isn't that a Japanese girl?
The Girl of the Golden West.
Girl of the Golden West. By whom?
Velasco. Puccini wrote the music.
Puccini. That's right. Well, that gives us at least 2 out of 3 and sends us on to one from F.O. Cook of Drake, Colorado. Again, a 2 out of 3 question. I'm going to give you 2 members of a famous literary triangle. And all you have to do is give me the third angle. The first set is George and Amelia. George and Amelia. 2 parts of a literary triangle. The third angle is George and Amelia. The names mean anything to you gentlemen?
Sadly.
Attaboy, Mr. Adams. Go right ahead.
Don't know the other one.
Oh, yes, you do.
What did he say? I didn't know.
Or something.
George and Amelia and Becky.
Becky Sharp. Becky Sharp is the third angle in... very good.
Well,
if you just trust yourself, instead of wearing those water wings, Mr. Adams, you get along all right. From Thackeray's Vanity Fair. Now, here's another triangle, or 2 parts of it. Emily and Ham. Mr. Kieran.
That is David Copperfield. What is it,
I want the third angle of the triangle. Mr. Adams?
Peggotty.
Oh, no. Now, we all know what a triangle is.
What is it? Emily, Ham, and Jephtha.
No.
Steerforth is another one, Dad.
Jafford, you mean.
Well,
Mr. Kieran?
Steerforth.
Steerforth. Yes, yeah, Steerforth is the other pretender to the hand of Emily. Ham and Steerforth are rivals for Emily's affections. How about Dick and Bessie, the third angle?
Oh.
Dick and Bessie, Mr.
That makes you think of Tobacco Road, is that right?
What one?
Bessie's in Tobacco Road.
Yes, right? I don't think the other member.
They could have gotten a dick around there.
Oh, I'm sorry. A third angle, gentlemen? It's a book you've all read, I think. It's these are from Kipling's The Light That Failed. And the third angle would be...
Ronald Corman.
the girl Maisie, Mr. Levant, the girl Maisie. I think I have to count that wrong. That'll send $25 and a set of the Britannica, courtesy of Lucky Strike, to Mr. Cook. And in turn sends us on to a question from Dorchester, Massachusetts, thought up by Mr. David Aronson. Now, this is a musical question, gentlemen. We're going to have played for us 3 similar-sounding descents down the scale from 3 different musical works. Identify the work and give me the composer, if you can. Get 2 out of 3. Let's have the first. We have 2 hands up. Mr. Tilden?
Autonome from Rigoletto.
Good for you, Mr. Tilden. Very good. That's a perfect answer. Anything wrong with that, Mr. Levant?
Only I could sing it.
Then nothing is wrong so far.
Oh, I wisely don't sing.
I wish others on this program would have your feeling about it, Mr. Tilden.
Well, maybe they haven't heard themselves. I've heard me.
All right, let's have the second of these musical descents. Only one hand, I think. Mr. Levant.
I didn't sing it. I whistled it. That's Tales of Vienna Woods.
Yes. By?
Johann Strauss.
Okay. And the third and last. Mr. Levant again.
Beethoven, the Scherzo, Seventh Symphony.
Seventh Symphony, that's right. That gives us 3 out of 3. Thank you, Mr. Levant and Mr. Tilden. And very good, I think. Very good going. How about this one from Mrs. Alda Makarov of Wayne, Pennsylvania? This is very easy, I think. I'm going to ask you to get all on it, if you don't mind. Name a character of literature or the theater or the movies who disguised himself in women's clothing and impersonated the following. In the first case, he disguised himself and impersonated an aunt. Mr. Tilden.
Charlie's aunt.
Who is the character who does the disguising, who hides himself behind
the
woman's skirt, so to speak?
The central character of the story, would know the name I've forgotten.
That's it. I would have forgotten it myself.
And the slightest idea what the name of the
Any
character
Any idea? Is. Mr. Adams, you're an old Charlie's aunt man.
Never saw it. It's Woman from Brazil. Man from Brazil, where the nuts come from.
Well, that's one of the lines from the play. The name of the character is Lord Fancourt Baberly. But I think I'll give you credit, Mr. Tilden, for knowing the origin of the disguise. Now, how about this one? A man, the character, who disguises himself as his own sister. Mr. Levant.
Love Crazy.
In Love Crazy. Who does the disguise?
William Powell.
Why?
He's supposed to be insane, and he wants to get back to his wife, and...
That's a non sequitur.
Pardon?
But he means...
Well, sometimes it works that way. And he gets back dressed up as his own sister, and there's a striking resemblance.
Yeah, very good. He actually doesn't
even have a mustache.
Actually, the sister is imaginary, Mr. Levant. Isn't that right? The sister doesn't exist?
No, there is no sister.
There is no sister.
The story doesn't exist, as far as that's concerned.
How about this one? A character who disguises himself as a grandmother. As a grandmother. Mr. Kieran.
The Wolf.
Yeah.
And Little Red Riding.
And Little Red Riding Hood. Yes, quite right. Well, that gives us 3 out of 3. I knew you'd get them all. How about this one from Ina Bent of this city? This is more or less up Mr. Tilden's alley. Are you in any sense an authority on...
Alley? That's in a doubles game.
I wouldn't say I was an authority on anything.
Well, there are 4 of us playing here tonight, Mr. Allen. Are you an authority on the tender passion, on love, Mr. Tilden?
Only at the time that I start a tennis game.
At your serving.
Yes. Well, here's one combining both your interests, then. Recite 3 lines of poetry mentioning different tennis terms. I have a wide choice. Any tennis term at all, included in a line of poetry. Mr. Adams, want to start us off?
My lines are cast in pleasant places.
My lines are cast in pleasant places. What's it from?
I don't know. I think it's probably from the Bible.
I think it probably is. And the lines are the tennis lines.
Yes,
is that right?
The
all
things
right.
that I knock outside of.
Yes, that's right. Mr. Tilden, do you have one?
I haven't found one. I was rooting around for one about court, and I couldn't find one.
That's good. Now, you just stay with that for about 30 seconds. Mr. Levant?
The Court of St. James.
Well, it's not a line of poetry.
It's a real estate venture.
God makes such nights for courting.
I beg your pardon?
God makes such nights for courting.
You come up with the oddest things.
James Russell Lowell.
I have one.
Mr. Kieran?
They also serve who only stand and wait.
That's a very good one. That gives us at least 2.5. Mr. Levant.
Something about feet of clay. A clay court, you know?
I know. Well, there must be a line about feet of clay. I wouldn't call it a tennis term particularly. I suppose you might.
Well, it's not
how about the line from Mr. Kieran? Got another one?
There's a whole paragraph or section in Henry V.
You're going to give it all to him?
No, but King Henry said he gets sent a present of a box of tennis balls by the Dauphin.
Right.
And it's an insult to him, so he says, we'll match a racket to these balls, we'll play a chase that will disturb all France, and so forth.
Oh, well, that's a feat. That's a dandy reference. Thanks ever so much. That gives us at least 2. Now, so far, Lucky Strike has paid out $25 and 1 set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And that self-same Encyclopedia Britannica has something to say about tobacco, which Mr. Cross believes you'll find interesting.
Mr. Fadiman, I simply want to point out that the encyclopedia mentions the great variation in quality of tobacco. That's something for every smoker to underline, for tobacco varies particularly in the amount of enjoyment it offers you. The finer, lighter, naturally milder leaf, the kind you enjoy in Lucky's, is different from ordinary tobacco and decidedly more expensive. For example, at auctions in Richmond, Kentucky last season, the American Tobacco Company paid 27% more per pound for the tobacco it bought for its cigarettes and other tobacco products. Yes, 27% above the average market price paid for all the various types and grades of tobacco sold there. And the best we bought will go to Lucky's. So next time you step up to that cigarette counter, remember we pay the price to get the milder, better-tasting tobaccos. Mr. Fadiman, isn't that just the kind of tobacco most smokers like best?
True and timely, Mr. Cross, in just 53 seconds. We'll go on with the second half of the program this evening with a question from Mrs. William Innes of Ontario, Canada. I think I ought to ask you to get all on this. Seems to me rather easy. Can you name a play or a movie in which the leading character in the first place is a wrestler? The leading character is a wrestler. Play or movie, Mr. Levant.
I remember a play about a wrestler, but I don't remember the name or anything about it.
Well, that is a perfect response. And safe as house. Now, what do you expect me to do on that? Mark you 100%?
Well, what can I do? It doesn't come back to me.
I'm sure you know the answers, madam.
Chief character?
Well, one of the leading characters.
As you like it.
As you like it, Mr. Adams. Yes. Wouldn't you say that, Mr. Kieran?
There was a wrestler in...
I wouldn't say it. I mean, first thing I thought, but he's not a leading character.
Well, he is a character in it. That's true. Perhaps I should recast my sentence and simply say a character.
I know one.
Mr. Levant.
There's a wrestling match in Of Thee I Sing.
I don't know. Never saw it.
They say, I'd rather be right. They say something about the Wagner Act, and then the Wagner Act comes out and wrestles.
You make it all clear. Mr. Tilden?
There's a fake wrestling scene also in Men of Boys Town and Mickey Rooney.
Don't know that either. Yeah. All right, that gives us three answers. Now, how about a play or movie in which one of the characters, I think in this case the leading character, is a baseball player? Mr. Kieran?
Elmer the Great.
Elmer the Great. There were four hands on that, by the way. Any objections to Elmer the Great? Any other?
There was
any other? Mr.
Slide, Kelly Slide, but that was a picture.
It was a picture? I don't know.
It was a picture.
If it's a picture, it's all right. I said a movie. If there was a movie made of it, that's okay.
Yeah, there was a fella in there who was very good. He can't come back to me either. William Haynes.
You've got a memory full of loopholes this evening. Name a play or movie in which the leading character is a prize fighter. Mr. Tilden.
Golden Boy.
Golden Boy. Had four hands on that, too. Mr. Levant.
Ringside, prize fighter and a lady.
Right.
And also the one Mr. Tunney always mentions.
Cashel Byron's Profession.
Yeah. That's a novel. I don't know that it was ever dramatized.
And also all of the Leather Pusher series.
Yes. Did they reach the screen?
Oh, too? Yes.
Okay.
Well, that, there was one by Francis Wallace.
Of answers.
What was that?
Kid Galahad.
That's right.
Okay. More answers than we need. Gentlemen, we have a plethora of prize fighters this evening. How about this one from Miss Alice Treadwell of New Milford, Connecticut? Getting close to home, Mr. Adams. In the following quotations, who is he and who is she? Get two out of three on this. Here's the first quotation. The nobler nature within him stirred to life at that woman's deed and word. Who is he and who is she, Mr. Adams?
She is Maud Muller and he is the judge.
No. Same general period. And I think the same author, but not the right answer. The nobler nature within him stirred to life at that woman's deed and word.
Barbara Fritchie and Barbara... Stonewall Jackson.
That's right.
I apologize.
Oh, no offense at all, Mr. Adams. Do you mind if I count you wrong, though?
I mind.
Mr. Kieran had his hand up that second time, too, and I'm sure he had the right answer the second time. Now, how about this one? Would you know how first he met her? She was cutting bread and butter. Now, Mr. Adams...
That would be Charlotte and Werther.
That's Charlotte and Werther. What were you going to say, Mr. Kieran?
I was going to say that, and Charlotte, like a well-conducted girl, went on cutting bread and butter after the murder.
Right. Who?
Like a well-conducted person.
Person.
Mr. Kieran, who wrote the rhyme?
Gosh, I don't know.
Thackeray.
Thackeray, Mr. Adams. Thank you very much. And just to make everything clear, who is Werther and who is Charlotte?
That doesn't appear in the question.
That's pretty canny.
Mr. Kieran?
Well,
they are the hero and the heroine of the sorrows of Werther.
Yes, and Werther is popularly supposed to be a representation of whom?
Goethe.
Of Goethe, yes. It was more or less autobiographical. How about this one? We have to get it right. She loved me for the dangers I had passed, and I loved her that she did pity them. Mr. Kieran?
That is Othello, or the Moor of Venice.
And
Desdemona was the she.
That's right, smack on the nose, Mr. Kieran. Thank you very much. That gives us two out of three. Now, how about this one from F.E. Gallagher, Sr. of Detroit? Get two out of three again. It's a baseball question. What position did Hans Wagner play before he became a shortstop? We have two hands. Mr. Levant.
Outfield.
What one?
Outfield or pitcher?
Right field.
Outfield.
Yeah. What position did Frank Chance play before he became a first baseman?
I know that.
You know that one, Mr. Levant?
Catcher.
Yeah. Also played right field, apparently.
Well, when they play right field, they got feet like mine.
What position did Roger Bresnahan play before he became a catcher? Mr. Kieran.
Center field.
Third baseman, apparently.
Well, he was also an outfielder. He could play anywhere.
He did?
I saw him play center field.
Okay. Good enough. That gives us three out of three. How about this one, gentlemen, from Gretchen Schwartz of Wellsburg, West Virginia. Again, get two out of three if you can. I'm going to give you some famous titles. Tell me what they mean. This play by George Bernard Shaw, The Doctor's Dilemma. What is the doctor's dilemma in the play? What is the doctor's dilemma? Mr. Levant.
Stop me, because I'm going to go on for an hour.
All right.
Well,
not on this program.
It's a question of which is the more the scientific quest or the man of genius, which is represented by the corrupt character of a painter. And
which one?
What is his name? He believes in Michelangelo, but I don't remember his name.
Oh, that's good enough.
It's a peculiar name. Not Frigid or Rigid.
Was it...
That's Rigid's the doctor.
Dubedat?
Dubedat.
Dubedat. All right.
Well, Dubedat is corrupt and worthless, but a man of genius. Now, whether it's worthwhile to save him or... Well, the doctor wins because the painter's wife doesn't give Rigid, the doctor, much of a tumble.
Correct. All right. Now, in The Secret of Suzanne, the opera, The Secret of Suzanne... What was the secret?
Was that piece they always play? Da-da-da-da.
That doesn't sound like a secret to me, the way you say it. Mr. Tilden?
I think she smoked.
Yes. She smoked what?
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes, yes.
Lucky strikes?
Let's hope so.
Well, I suppose
that's
one should say that.
That's the secret on this program.
Yes, that was the secret of Suzanne, that she smoked cigarettes. Who wrote the opera, Mr. Tilden, remember?
Wolf Ferrari.
Wolf Ferrari, very good. In Great Expectations... the novel by Dickens. What were the expectations? A great many people have read the novel. I wonder whether they've ever thought what the title meant.
Didn't.
Any luck on that, Mr. Kieran? Remember?
I think it was getting money left.
Wealth and education.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams. The expectation of inheriting great wealth. The hero Pip always expected to inherit wealth from the eccentric old lady. That gives us 3 out of 3. Now, how about this one? It's a tennis question from Joe Hunt of this city. Name the doubles partners of
these men. Joe Hunt of this city?
Joe Hunt of this city.
Not the guy
you know
I'm
him?
Thinking about.
Name the doubles partners of these men comprising a winning team in the United States Championships, men's doubles. In other words, name the other partner. In the first case, Von Kramm. Partner?
Hannah Henkel.
Henkel is right. What year did they win?
38, I think.
37, it was.
37 or 38. I was abroad. I can't swear to it.
Well, 38's near enough. Henkel is correct. Now, how about Quist? Quist? Mr. Levant.
I'd rather if Mr. Tilden wants it.
So would I.
Go ahead, Mr. Tilden.
Mr. Tilden.
Well, I would name Bromwich with Quist.
That would be quite correct.
I would have been wrong, incidentally. I would have said Crawford.
I had a feeling that you would have been wrong.
But what...
Still, even it's better to have incorrect names recurring to you than none at all, Mr. Levant. What year did Bromwich and Quist win? Ted Schroeder. What year?
Last year.
That was last year.
They're the present holders.
3 out of 3. Thank you very much, Mr. Tilden. How about this one from Jane Maury of Chevy Chase, Maryland? It's a one-part question. What have the following in common? And listen to these names carefully. I pass this way but once, gentlemen. Kala Nag, Moti Gudge, Malachi, and Hathi, H-A-T-H-I. I think I may be mispronouncing all of those names, with any luck. Moti Gudge, Kala Nag, Malachi, and Hathi.
How do you spell Hathi?
H-A-T-H-I. I said that before. Want me to spell it again?
No,
I get better and better
easier.
As I spell it. Mr. Kieran.
Well, I'll take a chance on it.
Go ahead.
Are they names of elephants?
That's right. Very good, Mr.
Kipling.
Kieran. That's a peach. And who are they? Can you give us
they're
any
from
idea?
From Kipling.
They're all from Kipling. I think that's very good going. They're very difficult names to remember. Kali Nag is from Tumai of the Elephants by Kipling. Moti Gudge is from Mining Inventions. And Hathi is from the Jungle Books. That's very good. How about this one? Now, we had... this question comes from R.B. Lewis of Dallas, Pennsylvania. You get 2 out of 3. It's a current events question. What place conspicuous in the news is recalled by the following? Is recalled in the first case by a tree. A tree. What place recently conspicuous in the news makes one think of a tree? Famous tree.
It wasn't George Washington's birthday lately.
No, not recently. Not recently. It's Lebanon. Lebanon in Syria, and of course the tree...
That's lots of cedar trees. Of Lebanon.
Well, the cedars of Lebanon. How about charged water? What place conspicuous
Vichy.
In the news? Vichy. Thank you, Mr. Levant. I guess we all would have gotten that. How about a sword?
Damascus.
Damascus, Mr. Levant. Very good. That's 3 out of 3. Now, here's a question that... we didn't finish a week or two ago. From Margaret Snyder of Toledo, Ohio. It's a question about fictional meals and who ate them. We got one part wrong. We have to get the next 2 parts right. Who ate beans without ketchup? Mr. Levant.
Lenny in You know that thing I answered last week.
Of Mice and Men. Of Mice and Men, yes. George and Lenny in Of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
Who ate a peeled grape?
Mae West.
Atta boy, Mr. Levan. You're going great guns. In what picture?
Mae West is enough. You don't have to remember the name of a picture.
She's more than enough. That gives us 2 out of 2, thanks to Mr. Levant. And I'm inclined to think that's about all we're going to have time for.
Oh, no.
Oh, would you like to have some more, Mr. Adams, really? Why don't you wait around until next week? I can promise you a few more questions. That'd be all right. And now Mr. Cross maintains that the ladies have a good head for business.
Well, Mr. Fadiman, this was certainly indicated to me the other day in a conversation I had with some friends. You see, a gentleman had asked me how the American Tobacco Company could afford to pay so much above the average market price for tobacco. Well, before I could answer, his wife popped up with, "Why not? Won't it make more people want to smoke Luckies, and won't they sell more as a result?" Now, you know, she'd put her foot right there. Let me tell you the full story. We pay the price to get the finer, lighter, naturally milder tobaccos. That makes Lucky's a finer, milder, better-tasting cigarette. And the result is that more and more of you want to smoke Lucky's. So you see, it really pays to pay, for example, 21% more than the market average for tobacco at Covington, Kentucky, 35% more at Knoxville, Tennessee, and so on. Yes, that's good business for us, because it's good smoking for you. Next time, ask for Lucky Strike.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. I've been reminded that this evening I've made more errors than the experts have because the first question asked this evening was answered incorrectly. And that means we sent out $25 in a set of the Britannica to the gentleman who sent in that question. In other words, this evening Lucky Strike seems to have paid out $50 and 2 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And Mr. Tilden, Lucky Strike thanks you for those returns this evening. Next week we offer an equally dazzling aggregation. In addition to Mr. Adams and Mr. Kieran, we're going to have a return engagement. I think you may remember this gentleman, a return engagement of the Honorable James J. Wallace, the silver-throated baritone, as Mr. Adams has dubbed him, and judge of the Court of General Sessions in New York. And as our special extra guest, please listen carefully, the Vice President of the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in the United States, a man who obviously needs no introduction whatsoever, other than naming of his name, the Honorable Alfred E. Smith. Now, will you remember, those who send in questions, that for every one we use, whether or not it's answered correctly, the sender gets $10. Now, if the question should happen to stump our experts, and as you can see, they frequently do, you not only get $25 more, but in addition, the complete 24-volume set of the latest edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Please remember to send your letters with questions and the correct answers to Information, Please, at 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City. And now a parting message from Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs, famous tobacco auctioneer from Goldsboro, North Carolina.
And that chant, ladies and gentlemen, is just another way of saying that if you haven't tried a Lucky lately, you don't know what you're missing. By the way, if you're going visiting this weekend, we suggest that you bring your host or hostess a carton of Luckies. It's sure to make a hit. Remember, with independent tobacco experts, with men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-to-1.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.